I'm calling this the call to the leaders to repent, which sounds redundant with other things we've seen, but really this is where we're wrapping up this whole argument. You therefore, who laid the foundation of the revolt. You hear the finger pointing. You therefore, who laid the foundation of this revolt, submit to the presbyters, that submit to the elders, the original elders, and accept discipline leading to repentance, bending the knees of your heart. Which is a nice phrase. I've never seen that before. Bending the knees of your heart. Learn how to subordinate yourselves. I've been reading a book that I got from Michael Kemp called Everyday Saints. I was reading it at your house on Shabbat. Yeah. Yeah, and it's about these monks, Eastern Orthodox monks. It's really a beautiful book. It's
go ahead.
Yeah, it's like about a monastery. You know, it's a monastery in Russia, and these monks, when they're novices, they come in and they have to learn this art of submission. Just like Clement's talking about here, this subordination. It's just got these great stories. I mean, some of them are really frightening about the things that these... But the monk, he can't ask questions. He doesn't have a choice. He goes in, and he's in a monk. He's a monk, and that's just what he does. And they have, like, they get up, you know, early in the morning. They're doing this very difficult physical labor, and then there's all these times of prayer. It made me feel like... just such so low, because our times of prayer, it's like these three times of prayer that would probably take me, 25 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, 10 minutes at night, to say Shacharit, Maariv, and Mincha on a minimum sort of level. These guys are praying for hours and hours and hours. They're saying, they're complaining about a service that goes 4 or 5 hours, and it's around midnight, that sort of thing. Anyway, they have no choice. Or they do have a choice. They can leave. They can leave the monastery. But they're choosing to learn to submit themselves to the priests and the bishops and the people who are over them. Not because the priests and the bishops and the people who are over them are necessarily, so wonderful, but because they're trying to submit to Christ, they're trying to submit to God. It's a pretty inspiring book. Anyway, where are we? Learn to submit. Learn how to subordinate yourselves, laying aside the arrogant and proud stubbornness of your tongue. Ooh. So that's my problem right there. The arrogant and proud stubbornness of my tongue. For it is better for you to be found small, but included in the flock of Christ, than to have a preeminent reputation and yet be excluded from this hope. And so here we go into that whole idea of that Roman ego, then that that Greco-Roman boasting, and versus what Yeshua is calling us to, these lives of humility and self-abnegation. This passage makes me think of Matthew 18, where the master says, the disciples come to the master and say, who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he says, he takes like Peter's kid or something, stands him up on the table. And he says, I'll tell you the truth, if you aren't converted in your heart and become like one of these children, become like this child, you will not even enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And, it's such an inversion of our values, such an inversion of our natural inclination. But this is what Clement's pointing at here. He says it's better that you should, be humiliated, that you should be humiliated in front of people, that you should be scorned and included in the flock of Christ, than that you should defend yourself and be all haughty and defend your pride and be excluded from salvation. For thus says all virtuous wisdom. Now he's going to quote another long passage. This one's from Proverbs chapter 1, which I'm sure you're familiar with. But it reads differently in the Septuagint, which Clement is quoting. Not very differently, but just enough to make me interested. So I'll read it to you. You know, when it says, this is wisdom personified that's speaking in Proverbs 1, and she's saying, hey, you foolish people, you know, listen to me. And she's personified as a woman. Of course, the early believers took that personification of wisdom as the spirit of Messiah speaking. So it says, listen, I will bring forth for you a saying of my spirit. This is wisdom talking. And I will teach you my word, because I called and you did not obey. I held out words and you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and disobeyed my correction. My musar. I therefore will laugh at your destruction, will rejoice when ruin comes upon you and when confusion suddenly overtakes you. You know, one time I remember I was teaching this to Maria Poschel. So that's supposed to be that's supposed to be Yeshua? That doesn't sound like Yeshua. I'll laugh at when destruction overtakes you. I'm like, well, yeah. Catastrophe arrives like a whirlwind, or when tribulation or distress comes upon you. At that time, when you call upon me, I will not listen to you. Evil men will seek me out and will not find me, for they hated wisdom. They did not choose the fear of the Lord, nor did they desire to pay attention to my advice, but mocked my correction, my musar. Therefore, they will eat the fruit of their own way, and they will be filled with their own ungodliness. Because they wronged infants, they will be slain. Because they wronged infants, they will be slain. Another translation says, because they wronged the simple, they will be slain. And this reminds me again of Yeshua. I would refer to his disciples. He referred to his disciples as children, little ones, infants, referring to their humble hearts and their humble attitude that they had adopted as disciples of Yeshua. It just seems so beautiful. It just seems so beautiful to think of that. You know, it's not that we should be like, that we should have a childlike faith, or that we should, have a childlike ignorance or something like that, but a childlike humility. And, you know, children aren't humble anymore. I mean, but you have to think of the children in the ancient world, I think, who actually, you know, didn't like talk back to adults and think that they were all that and more, and had a lot of self-confidence training and, you know, a lot of nonsense like that. A lot of television teaching them to be sassy. You know, we'd never let our kids watch those like kids programs when they were growing up. Not because there was anything wrong with them, except the attitude of the kids. They were just so sassy, and it was just like, always so like, oh, isn't this funny how sassy these kids are and how they are so disrespectful? And so that was our main thing, the thing we were trying to shelter them from was that disrespectful attitude. And we wouldn't even let them watch, these really like, these incredibly innocent things on Channel 2 on PBS, public broadcasting. There's this one, it was called Alfred or something, or Howard, or I can't remember what it was called. It was just this innocent cartoon. So not too long ago, the kids were watching this. They're like, it's like, hey, we were never allowed to watch this. So they're watching and they're like, what? What's the deal? It's like, oh, there's no deal. It's just, when you were little, we didn't want you talking like that.
I remember when I was a kid, we used to watch different TV programs, and my dad got really angry one time. He was sitting watching with us, and we were watching Eight is Enough. I don't even remember.
I remember that.
A lot of kids. And he was like, turn that off. And we're like, what? Couldn't tell anything wrong. He goes, don't you see that whole show is all it's about is selfishness? I'm like, seriously, Dad? But that created an impression in my mind because I realized that we can get messages not just through whatever they're saying.
Yes. That's the thing that is so discouraging to me about the modern world and trying to be religious in the modern world, trying to be religious and trying to lead a godly life in the world of Netflix and the world of YouTube. You know, it's just, it's remarkable. It's remarkable how pervasive the world and its values has become, that it can reach into the lives of every child. Yeah. It's not like the old days. And the old days weren't that great.
Yeah. Depends on how old you want to go.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, we can go on here. It says, they wronged infants. Because they wronged infants, they will be slain, and a searching inquiry will destroy the ungodly. But the one who hears me will dwell safely, trusting in hope, and will live quietly, free from fear of all evil. That's Proverbs chapter 1, 23-33. All right, we're going to do one more chapter.